Good evening. Whoa, that mic works pretty good, doesn't it? Glad everybody's with us tonight. Sitting at the kitchen table this afternoon, Jenny walks in. I'd been sitting there for quite a while, had papers strewed all over, computer sitting there. She looked at me with a worried face and she says, "How long is this going to be?" I said, "Well, I'm just trying to cut it down." And she says, "Well, keep working." The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter. I will not faint. He is my shepherd. I am not afraid. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He will uphold me all of my days. I am surrounded by mercy and grace. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's a song we sing. I think we've sung it here for a few years. But when you stop and think of it, what is the joy of the Lord? What does that come from? What is the joy of the Lord? What does that mean? What does that look like? How does that manifest itself? It comes from the story of Nehemiah. When Nehemiah is gone back to rebuild the wall, they get the wall finished, and you know, there'd been a lot of trouble. People had fussed and complained about them rebuilding the walls. Their enemies would threaten them for rebuilding the wall, but they got it finished. They got the wall done. And so Nehemiah and Ezra the prophet and all of them gathered all of those in Jerusalem and the Israelites that had been scattered abroad, and Ezra read the law to the people, the law of Moses. And as they heard this, they were weeping. See, it goes back a little bit to that conviction that Blake talked about this morning. And there's going to be a little bit of tie-in here tonight between the lesson this morning and this evening. So the people were weeping, says in verse 9 of Nehemiah 8. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites, who were instructing the people, said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep," for the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. They've been convicted. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still. For this is a holy day, do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and to drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Now I think that last part right there is pretty significant. The words that had been made known to them. We'll come back to that in a little bit. So joy is really the result of a number of different feelings. Joy can come from a number of different places with us. We can get joy from confidence. We can get joy from a peace. We can get joy from hope. the feeling of joy comes to us kind of from other things. And there's kind of two sides to joy. It's a joy that we show, an outward joy, a joy that other people see, and the joy we feel. So I want to take a minute and kind of look at that tonight. They're really connected in a pretty strong way. So what does it mean to show joy? I think it's almost inherent. I think if you have joy, it's seen in you. I think if you possess a joy, people around you know it. It tends to bubble over. We tend to see it in people. People who have joy in their lives. People that are happy. People that are confident. People that have hope. These are characteristics of people with joy. So the joy that we show. So as we show joy, what does the Bible say about showing joy? Well, the first thing that came to my mind was Galatians. We've all looked at that and we know it. It's part of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying of each other. But if we have the fruits of the Spirit, if we dwell in Christ, if the Holy Spirit is in us, joy is one of the things it says that we show. It's a fruit that we show. It's part of what we are supposed to be. You know, sometimes we get kind of all tied up in our lives. We get tied up in things going on around us. We get tied up in things at church. And sometimes we just don't show joy. Sometimes it's just a little hard to find joy in us. I think we miss the boat there a little bit when we take that approach. I think we tend to get wrapped up in our lives and we forget about what's been done for us and things to come, because we tend to live in the here and now. And in this world, in this day, I think it can be said that it's a joy killer when we get wrapped up in this stuff. So what does it mean to have the joy of the Lord, and that it will be my strength? We know it's a fruit of the Spirit, so we know it's something that we get, or can get, I think, if we look for it. We understand that it's not hidden. It's supposed to be out. If joy is within us, it's going to show. When we have joy, it shows. But joy is also something we feel. It is something we have, not just something that we show. Well, where does that joy that we feel, where does that joy that we have come from? You ever think about that? You know, the word joy is used so much in the New Testament, Old Testament too, a lot in the New Testament. And it's in all sorts of references. People were joyous. People felt joy. Where does that come from? Where does this feeling of joy come from? Well, in Paul's part, it comes from others. Paul spoke so much of the joy that he gained from being with other Christians, from receiving news of how the Christians were doing, of those that he had worked with for so long. He loved to hear from them, and it gave him joy. If you turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 3. Starting there, this is Paul writing. He says, I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I consistently remember you in my prayers, talking about Timothy, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that now lives in you. So Paul received joy from Timothy. Paul received joy from others. He wrote about it time and time again. So we can receive joy from others. You know, we spent a wonderful weekend this weekend with the elders and the ministers and the staff and their spouses. It was a great weekend of prayer. It was a great weekend of being together and of fellowship, of talking about things here at Bellevue, things we want to do, things we want to do better. But I had a good time. It filled me with joy to be around those people. It fills me with joy to be here with you. We get so much joy from people that we like to be around, from people of like mind, from Christians, from the work that goes on here. We get joy in that. So I think that inner joy that we get comes from others. Paul was definitely in belief of that. He spoke of it so many times. He said, I count it all but joy. Even the struggles he went through. Why? Where did that come from in Paul? What brought on that joy? What filled him with joy? We know he got some of it from knowing Christians and knowing others and seeing their growth in the faith. But we also get joy from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If you look at Romans 14, Paul had been going on here and had been explaining that there were some that were worried about eating certain meats, drinking certain things and others, and there were some different feelings about what was going on there. So Paul had been talking to them about this. But in Romans 14, starting in verse, let's see, start in verse 16. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of evil. And but 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. So let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. But he says here, the joy, sure I say this right, so I got to find that. Joy in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit brings us a joy also. An indwelling of joy from the Holy Spirit being within us. Well, what is it about the Holy Spirit being in us that brings us joy? Where does that come from? On down a little further in chapter 15 of Romans. Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So in 13 here it says, may God of hope fill you with all joy. Again, where does that come from? Why does God want us to have joy? Why does God yearn to fill us with joy? In 1 Thessalonians 1, starting in verse 4. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. I think this is the same deep conviction that Blake talked about this morning. Where we understand that this conviction, that we're convicted in knowing that it was our sins that put Christ on the cross. And I may be having a spoiler here, a future lesson from Blake, but I think what was talked about this morning is just the first piece of that. You know, because as we're convicted, just like the Israelites were when they read the law of Moses after they completed the wall, they were weeping. It brought a deep feeling, an understanding of their sin, what they weren't doing properly. And as Blake said this morning, we tend to have that when we think about the cross. When we stop and think of the fact that it was our sins that put Christ there. But now the rest of the story. For 3 days later, Christ rose. See, it may have been our sins that put Christ on the cross, and that brings about a deep conviction in us. But it was God that 3 days later brought Him back, raised Him from the dead. And it's that resurrection that changes the entire story. It's that resurrection 3 days later that I believe becomes the source of our joy. Because as I said earlier, there's many things that come from joy, or joy comes from many things. Joy comes from hope. Joy comes from a confidence that we have. Yes, we must be mindful that we're sinful creatures. And I think it's that conviction that really pulls at us. But we also must be mindful that God keeps promises. And the promise that He has given us, that if we follow His Son and we walk in His light, then we too will be raised. How can you not be joyful in that? We've all had instances where we've had things happen in our lives and we weren't sure what was going to happen. But then a little later we find out that it was okay. It wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be. And how did you feel? You felt pretty good, didn't you? You felt a joy in that. Now that was a joy out of confidence of understanding that things weren't so bad. But we have a confidence that God keeps His promises. We have a confidence and a hope that will come later. And I think this is the source of the joy within us. Turn to 1 Peter. I think this kind of circles things around. I hope I've not wandered too much tonight. As I was studying this afternoon, part of what I was actually doing was try to corral this down into what I thought the important points was, because the more I dug into joy within the life of a Christian, it went everywhere. There's not a lot of places you can dig in the life of a Christian that doesn't have that hope or joy within it. Joy of a Christian that was maybe fallen away and now come back. Joy of a new Christian. The joy of being with others as Paul enjoyed. There's so much we can be joyful about in this life. And for some reason, at times, we tend not to focus on that. I've been pretty busy the last month and a half. I've got a lot going on at some projects up in Pennsylvania. And this past week was a pretty tough week. We had a lot of stuff due the end of this week, and we had turned in some proposals earlier last week. And the construction business is a good business, but it tends to have a little bit of a shady side sometimes. There's a lot of give and take on some subs. There's some people that whose ethics in this business are more focused maybe on the money than doing things right. And by Tuesday of this week, it was getting to me. It had been a long night. We had been up late. We'd been putting stuff together. Some of the people we work for wanted things to be a certain way, and so They were kind of going outside the lines. It wasn't anything we were doing. It wasn't anything I was doing, but I knew about it. And I was getting wrapped up in it. So Tuesday morning, I got up early. I need to be at the job site by 7. I got up pretty early Tuesday morning. And I spent about 15 minutes in prayer. Pretty much asking the Lord to remind me of what's really important. Pretty much asking for Him to be there this week and help me see that I can't control what goes on in this world. And to know that I don't have to. I don't need to control what goes on in this world. I actually had a peace that came over me. The rest of the day on Tuesday and for the rest of the week, it didn't bother me. I refocused on the fact that there is joy in where we are. There is joy from being in the Lord. And we've got to not get wrapped up in all of this. So I ask you to think about this week. If you get tied up in this stuff. Because I think in 1 Peter here, I want to kind of end with this evening. Starting 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, our sins may have helped put Him there on the cross. But 3 days later, He was raised. And God gives us that. Into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Verse 8. Though you have not seen Him, He's talking to those today. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexplicable and glorious joy. Why? For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. what is there not to be joyous about? See, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It must be. We won't get it anywhere else. We have got so much to be thankful for here at Bellevue. We're thankful for all of you. We're thankful for the wonderful deacons we have. We're thankful for the works that we have. We're thankful for the reputation we have in this community. We're thankful that we have the opportunity to serve here and around the world. Sometimes we don't think about that enough in my mind. But the number one thing we are thankful for is that even though our sins sent Christ to the cross, God raised him and has promised to raise us. And as long as we continue to walk in his light as he is in the light, we have that hope. And from that hope, as Peter said, comes an inexplicable joy. You can't help but be joyful thinking of the reward that is to come. As I was trying to put all of this together for tonight, I wanted to make sure that this was uplifting. I don't know if I accomplished that. I hope I did. But I hope I just gave you guys some things to think about. Maybe some things to ponder of what God has done for us. And that we can be so happy and joyful knowing that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And that we have a joyous reunion with Christ waiting for us. If you're here tonight and you haven't made that decision to be in Christ, if you haven't made that decision to accept the promise that God has made us for those that continue to walk and live in the light. Or maybe you're here tonight and this old world has crept back in and has kind of taken some of that joy away. I want you to know that we're here. Either tonight as you come forward or anytime you want to let us know. We're here to do whatever we can to help restore that joy in knowing that God keeps his promises and in that he gives us the hope of eternal life. If you need to respond, please do so as we stand and as we sing.